Okay, good morning everybody.
Good morning, one body.
Yeah, one body. And we are approaching...
You're singular, we are plural, yes. You are singular.
Yeah. We're approaching Rosh Hashanah, slowly but surely, not so slowly. And we are ready now in Chodesh Elul. And the parasha says, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha. What does it mean? Judges and policemen, you should put in all your gates. So the simple explanation is that what happens today, for example, if you have something wrong and you go to the court, it could take you sometimes years. The Torah doesn't want it to take years. The Torah wants, if you have difficulties, you have a problem, it's going to be solved on the spot. So that's why the Torah is ordering us to have a lot of shoftim, a lot of judges, a lot of courts, and a lot of policemen. Now, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, one of the big lessons here is written shoftim v'shotrim, judges and police. It says, if there is no police, you don't need judges. Why? Because if you haven't got the ability to force the law, you don't need the law.
why is shoftim before the... Don't say why the shoftim...
Because the shoftim, that you have the law, and the law is before. First of all, you have the law. Then after the law, you have somebody who has to enforce the law. So you need a law, and then you need somebody to enforce. If there's nobody to enforce the law, what's the meaning of the law? Sure. And it's a big lesson. Because, you know, sometimes you have places in the world that they have a court, but you know right from the beginning that it's not going to be justice there. Because the police or the enforcement is on the other side. In other words, in this case, all the idea of having a law is just to show the world that we are okay. For example, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichra, they also had laws. Did they go with the law when they killed the Jews? No. Suddenly the law was not for the Jews. So it's an interesting point that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. Shoftim v'shotrim goes together. If there is no power to enforce the law, I don't want you to have a court and a judge that it's just saying you have to do this and you have to do that, nobody's going to do it. So what's the idea? In other words, if you want a proper society, you need both. Then, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, another interesting thing. Sometimes the judge has the power to enforce the law. In this case, the judge is also the judge and the police. That's why it's calling Shoftim Veshotrim. Says judges and police, not judges and then also you need police. No. Sometimes the judge has to be also the police. By the way, it happens in Am Yisrael a lot. Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the judge and he also had the power to enforce what he wanted. Shmuel HaNavi, the same thing. He had the power to enforce his ideas and his things. So in other words, a good society is first of all about law and enforcement. Otherwise, means nothing. Now let's talk about Elul. Because one of the explanations is Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha, in all the gates, says that we're talking about the gates of the body. What does it mean? The mouth, the eyes, the ears, the nose, what we see, what we eat, what we speak, where we go, all those things have to be controlled. It's like when you go to a today, even today, still we have it. When you go to the mall, you have to be checked when you go in. And exactly this is what has to happen before you start Rosh Hashanah. Some people think that Chodesh Elul is the end of the year. But one of the beautiful explanations about Sha'arecha, the gates, is that there are gates of the year. And one of those gates is Elul. Elul is the gate to Tishrei. In other words, Elul is where you go in to get to Rosh Hashanah. And you have a lot of other gates. You have a gate for a bar mitzvah, for a brit, for wedding. In every stage of life, it is a certain gate that you have to prepare yourself to what's in front of you. And normally, especially when we're talking about Elul, you have to clean yourself. In other words, you have to purify yourself in order to stand in front of God, in order to go in to Rosh Hashanah. So, how do you do this? Shoftim veshotrim titen lecha b'chol sharecha. You put judges and police and enforcement on yourself. You check what you do. Did I do right? Did I do wrong? And if I did wrong, I have to pay for it. I have to change myself. I have to try and do the good in the eyes of God. In other words, shoftim veshotrim, especially now, for us, is to control what goes in and what goes out. And it's not always easy, because we live in an environment which people are doing whatever they want to do, and things are being changed, and unfortunately the influence is of society on us is crucial. And what do I mean? In order to understand it a little more, there's this nice story I think we talked about in the past. There was this father and son and a donkey walking. They met a guy, and the guy tells them, "Why do you walk? You have a donkey." So the father goes on the donkey and rides it, and the son goes near. Another guy comes. "You are strong. Your son is weak, small kid. How dare you ride on the horse and your weak son is walking?" So the father goes down off the horse and puts his son on the horse. They go on the horse or the donkey, whatever. They're going on. Then somebody else comes. He says, "Where is Kibud Av? Yeah, Kabed et Avicha ve et Imecha. What, the son is on the donkey and the father is walking by foot?" So the father went also on the donkey. So now the father and the son riding the donkey. Somebody else comes on and says, "What did you, Tzar Bale Chaim? Look at the poor donkey. He cannot carry you both. Look what you've done to him." So both get down and they carry the donkey on their head. It's a nice story. And it's what we want to say is, if you listen to everybody and you want to satisfy, at the end you will carry the donkey. And that's what happened in life. This guy says this, the other one says this. And if you want to listen to everybody, you have a problem. So what do? You have to try and control and know who is talking the truth and who is the one who is doing the right thing, and then you listen to him and only to him and not to others. Like I told you that when I've been in Toronto 2 weeks ago, and I met this guy from the conservative community. I told you about it, no?
Yeah.
Oh, no? Okay. So I met this guy from the conservative community. He's one of the heads of the community in Toronto. And he is the head of the Friendship Society of Canada to Bar-Ilan University. And donate a lot of money. They donate a lot of money to Bar-Ilan University. Now what was happening is, on this tour that we took, we are only two couples that were religious. And the guide, he knew it. So wherever we stopped, it was a normal place. And you know, not always you find what you want to eat. Though it's not a big problem in the States or in Canada, because you can always find something with OU and thing and it. But he says, "You know, we're getting to Toronto. I've got a very good friend. He's one of the heads of the community. And I spoke with him before. He's going to take you to a kosher restaurant. Shawarma. Very nice. You know, in the middle, think the way you want to eat some meat, kosher, le mahadri." The idea was in the beginning that me and my wife will go with this guy. But then the other couple heard about it. The wife didn't want so much. She wanted to go to the mall. You know, one of the amazing things that I cannot believe it. You know, people go and spend this money to see places, and what is on their mind half of the time is, where is outlets. That's what they're looking for.
Outlets.
Where is the outlet? Now, this also was like in Toronto. In Toronto, they took them to there's a big outlet there. And, of course, most of the people wanted to go there. And I liked the idea, because this guy from one of the heads of the community, he said, you know what, I'm going to take you to this kosher restaurant. On the way, I'm going to show you a little the places in Toronto, the area. I will show you the old Jewish quarter, and then I will take you to the Jewish where they live today, and I will take you also to the restaurant. And eventually, we had all to meet in this in his synagogue, where he's going to give a lecture about the Jews in Toronto. So anyway, it was very convenient because we had another couple with us and their kid. But it was amazing, like, to see the Jewish side of Toronto, and also to see the university. It was okay, less important, but it took us like the Jewish quarter, and we saw this old synagogue there. By the way, it's still functioning because maybe people that live in the area, the old Chinese, but there are maybe businesses that maybe they come in Shachrit and Minchan Mariv and pray there because the shul was open. What's very nice, very interesting to see, and you see all those signs from 150 years ago, 200 years ago. Very interesting. And then took us to the place where the Jews live. By the way, some of those houses are like big mansions, and Baruch Hashem. And then he took us to the restaurant, and we had a nice shawarma kosher lemehadrin. But that's not the story. That was a nice guy. He is conservative. And then he took us to the shul, his shul. And everybody came then later on. 3,000 places. This shul, one of the biggest shul there is. 3,000 places.
Seats, yes.
3,000 seats in the shul.
Wow.
And this is in Toronto, Canada. What's the name of the shul? I don't remember the name. Got it written. It's a conservative, not Orthodox, conservative. I must say that I saw a lot of people there rowing around with yarmulkes on the head. And it also, it's not only the shul, they had another small shul near it. And a whole big, really, holes, and a big place. Anyway, he talked about the Jews in Canada, in Toronto. And it was very interesting, because one side he said, we all live together, the Orthodox, the Reforms, and the Conservative. And we love each other, and we love Israel. And we help Israel as much as we can. So I like the idea that everybody lives with peace together. But of course, this is the big lesson for us. You have to love every Jew. But if his way is not your way, you hate the way. There is no shoftim v'shotrim. You have to put judges and police on your gates. Be very careful. Especially when you love somebody. And you have to love him. He's a fellow Jew like you at the end of the day. You have to be very careful from his opinions. If they are corrupt and the wrong opinions, you have to get as far away as you can from him. Still, there is no problem to love him. We have to make the definition between the man and what he is standing for. And if what he is standing for is wrong, we never agree to this. You can never agree to this. Now, what I learned now was very interesting. This guy, he looked to me more religious than a normal conservative. Let's say, I would put him, when he put the yarmulke on his head, I would put him as like Orthodox, which is like not very, not a Haredi, no, like one of the guys, one of the people. And then he explained that when the conservative movement started in Toronto, at least, and I believe that it's one, in the whole world it was the same, they were what they call today Dati Light. You know what Dati Light is? Like, he is doing compromises. Like, it's not very strict. In other words, the Seder is the same Seder. The synagogue is the same synagogue. Men and women sit separately. And in other words, they do exactly what the Orthodox do, but they make the rounding corners. Okay, if somebody comes to shul with a car or this, they don't make a thing of this, even if he puts it, let's say, near the shul. Okay, they're light. But then he said, he developed. And the women got down from the Ezrat Nashim, and they were sitting one side and the other side. And from the way he was talking, I understood that he doesn't like the idea. But as he said, we went with it. Because that's what it is. So today, they're sitting together, men and women, with no separation at all. That's what I understood from him. In other words, when I'm thinking about what is the difference between the conservative and the reformed, I would have a lot of difficulties to find them today. Maybe the siddur is the same siddur as we've got. Maybe. Because as you know, I hope you know, the reforms, when they started, they took from the siddur out everything that had to do with Eretz Yisrael, with Zion. Took everything out. They had special siddurim. The siddurim I saw there in the conservative shul were normal siddurim, like maybe that's the way too. I didn't have all time to start investigate them. But what I learned from this thing was very clear. Today, the same thing is happening. Here in Eretz Yisrael and all over the world. When Orthodox, good Orthodox minions, communities, are trying to be more modern. They are being pluralistic, how they call it. Like, advanced. But that's exactly how the Reform movement started. And when he was talking about the conservative movement, I saw how it happens. So they, you have the Orthodox, they decided that Orthodox is too religious for them. So they tried and opened a new congregation, conservative. But what happened to those conservative? Slowly but surely, they become closer and closer to the Reforms. It's like somebody told me once, the conservative are doing, or let's say, the conservative, what they're doing today, what the Reforms did before. And the Reforms are doing what the conservative used to do. In other words, both of them are getting very, very close to each other. And what started with having a little light religion, not so strict about the religion, lead them to a place where we don't want to be. And that's a big lesson for us. We think that things happen just like this. No. They start with small things. That's why... Exactly. Pirza koret laganav.
Because you don't understand. There's a crack, so it develops. Yeah.
And this is a big lesson for us. Because when we see what's happening to people that are good people, but because they try to do compromises with the religion, they got to the point where there was no, at the point of no return. And eventually, they become, if you're asking me, they are like the Reforms. So, what is our lesson here? Set the Torah, shoftim v'shotrim, titen lecha b'chol sharecha sherech shem elokecha noten lecha, v'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. And then there is another sentence that is very, very important. They said that you should rule, should have a court that is justice, and the judges have to judge everybody. And they say even that if somebody is not dressed like properly and the other one is dressed nicely, the judge has to maybe sometimes even tell them to dress the same. Or he has to take in an opinion if somebody knows how to talk. And you know, there's people that happen, that those things happen all the time. Somebody knows how to talk, the other one doesn't know how to talk. So you have to make sure that when you judge them, you're not taking in consideration the way they talk and the way they look. You have to take only the case by itself. And then, lo tikach shochad. You don't take bribe. Ki ha-shochad, why? Because ha-shochad ya'aver enei chachamim v'yiselev divrei tzadikim. If somebody bribes you, it's going to have to blind the clever guy, the wise guy, and will, let's say, take the words of the tzadikim in the wrong way. It's going to... And it's going to be, let's say, it's not going to be just the justice, because they're going to work about, the money is going to influence them. But the question is,
who will judge the judges?
Not only this, the question is, why is the Torah telling us tzaddikim v'chachamim? Why is the Torah not telling us just generally, if you take bribe, it's going to influence your judgment? Why is the Torah telling us chachamim? I would say chachamim and tzaddikim will be the last on the list. The simple people, they are going to be more influenced by bribe. What do you think?
No, but they are responsible for their
okay.
They're the tzaddikim and they have a standing.
So you say that they're approaching the tzaddikim because they are responsible. But still, the Torah is for everybody. You can, if you read this, you could think that if you're not a tzaddik and if you're not a clever, you can take bribe because it doesn't go, not going to influence you. Because the Torah is not telling you about a simple guy. Because the way it's written here, the tzaddik is going to be influenced by it, and the clever guy. But the normal guy, maybe, is not going to be influenced. But of course, everybody is influenced by the bribery. But there is a small difference. What is a tzaddik? A tzaddik is a guy that normally loves everybody. And if you do something to him, he's going to pay you back. He is a tzaddik. If you give him, do him a favor, they talk about one of the Tanaim that he had a field, and in the field they had somebody who works for him, and what's it called? Aris. Aris is somebody who takes the land and has to bring to the owner every year a certain amount, percentages of what's growing on the field. And in one of those days, this guy who works for him in his field brought him his share. And he had a case, a court case, and he couldn't judge him, but he told him what to say to the judge in order to help him in his case. And then he found out that he was walking around the court and thinking, what's going to happen to this guy? And then he told to himself, look at this. This guy didn't bribe me. He gave him what is mine. And still, all the time I'm thinking on his favor. And this is a tzaddik. If you do something to him, if you give him something, he owes you. And he cannot stay. He is a tzaddik. He wants to give it back. In other words, if you bribe a tzaddik, it's going to influence his soul, because his soul is delicate. He cannot just receive something with not giving. So, in other words, it's going to influence him. But the big lesson here is that it doesn't matter who you are. You can be the greatest tzaddik and a very clever guy, Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech says, it's written in the Torah, you shouldn't have a lot of horses, shouldn't have a lot of wives, because this and that. So, okay, I know it, I will have no problem. And what happened? Yeah. He did have the problem. So, and he was Shlomo HaMelech. So the big lesson here is, if you think that you're clever, you are tzaddik, and it's not going to influence you, you still have to put on yourself shotrim v'shotrim titen lecha bechol sharecha. The influence, Yetzer Hara, is everywhere. He is influencing everybody. Nobody has the power, let's also to fight the Yetzer Hara by himself. You cannot. He's powerful. You have always to ask the God to help you.
I just wanted to say, there's a story in the Gemara, a man had to know judge across the bridge, and then after he crossed the bridge, he says to the judge, you know, I've got the court case, will you be my judge? So the judge said, no, I can't, because you helped me to cross the bridge.
One of the big lessons is, when we let foreigner ideas getting into our mind, and then we have a big problem. When we let somebody strange to our ideas, to the right ideas, to go in and influence us, we have a problem. And this is exactly what the Torah means when it's telling us you have to be very careful, because today this world is very tempting. Is everybody around you? And you know, we got so tolerant and so, let's say, accept everything. Okay, this is okay. And look, like I told you, a few years ago, I've been in a shul in Jerusalem, and on Friday night, a girl went up where the rabbi sits, and she talked. So I thought it was one case. Okay, what can you do? And you were the people with beards like these, big kippahs, and then we had a friend living there, so a few times we went to Jerusalem, to the same place. And every time I've been there, there was a girl talking. And I couldn't understand what's going on here. Well, there were no men that know how to talk. And what's the idea of a girl standing in where the men stand, where the rabbi stand, and talking before, in the middle of the tefillah, between Kabbalat Shabbat and Mariv, to the men? This is not appropriate. That's not the way we were raised up. And then what happened? They had a rabbah. They had, now it's not, well, we're talking about Orthodox minyan. And I'm not going to say even the name of the rabbi there, which also is quite famous. But I wrote a long time ago what Rav Aviner wrote about, if you go to a shul and something like this happened, you know what the Rav Aviner said? you go out. You don't stay in the shul. So I stopped going to the shul because of this and went to a different shul, even though it was farther out, and I liked the minyan there. But I was always amazed, till today, how is it that I saw that people are really, they looked tzaddiki. And they were sitting there while a woman was talking in front of them, in shul, during the service. We never saw things like this. And it went on and on and on to the point that they have now with the rabbi, not his wife, a girl, a woman that is like helping him with guiding the congregation. This is exactly the reform idea. In Be'er Sheva, we have neighbors, and their daughter is also very Orthodox. And by the way, she was very religious. I don't know how religious she is today, but they have a minyan in Be'er Sheva. This also started with, instead of having the women on the back or up, the men and women sitting on the two sides, the right side the men, the left side the women, and they had a mechitza in between. And from what I heard now, the mechitza is already starting to going down. And this is, again, I'm not talking about conservative or reformed, I'm talking about Orthodox minyan. Now, this is a red light for us. We have to understand. Our sages, our fathers and mothers, they knew what is good. It's like, you know, the young generation always thinks he knows better. But when they grow up, they learn as we. The same thing as we. We thought we know better than our parents. But then we found that our parents were quite right. Nothing has changed. Shlomo HaMelech said it. En chadash tachat ha-shemesh. Nothing new. It's all the same thing. It maybe looks different from the outside, but it's the same idea. And this is why we have to be careful about those things. When you keep our gates, in order to understand what it is, I want to tell you a story, a real story, which always, when I remember it, it hurts me. There was this firm, and you all know that I'm not going to say names. It's a well-known firm today in Israel. It was a family firm. And they were really developing, and they had the business was going growing. And so they took an accountant an accountant on a full basis. Not like normally, like a small business, you have an accountant and you give him what you have. Here they had an accountant on the premises. And a nice guy. A few years later, this guy learned all the secrets and all the things, and you're an accountant, you know that every business got some foilishtick going on, and he knew everything. And he, with one of the family, threw out all the other family and took the business on himself, threatening them that he's going to say this and that and that. Like, you see, this is exactly when you don't keep your gates. Not only in the spiritual world, also in the normal world, what happens is, you think he loves you, you think he is working for you, but if you don't check him, you don't check what you're taking in, that's what can happen. And it was like an unbelievable business. And this guy just took the business from them. How did he start? Smiling, friendly, I'm going to help you, I'm going to... He, had all those tricks for the Mas Hakhnasa, for the income taxes. But he used those tricks in order to force them to get out of the business eventually. Pay them, let's say, nothing, and just send them all out. So if we don't look after what's happening with us, and we're not careful enough, we also sometimes let those things go into us, and then slowly but surely they control us. And when they control us, it's not easy anymore. So the Torah is telling us, Shoftim veshotrim titen lecha bechol sha'arecha. You should put on the gates police, judges, to judge what you do, to have to enforce what you, not only to judge, okay, it's wrong, but then you do it because you want to do it. It's like, somebody is diabetic. You see this, goes to the, sees this cake on the, wow, this cake looks good. So what is he going to do? Sometimes He takes it and eats it. And what can happen then? He can end in the hospital. Why? Because it looked good. But he knew that it's wrong. But he didn't enforce it. So it's not enough to know it's wrong. It's also to enforce it enough. I always tell this story with this doctor that talked about smoking. And he shows this guy the picture of the lungs, how they look black. And then he's going to kill you. You go in the airport, you see the cigarettes packet. In Turkey, it was unbelievable. They had written like this. Cigarettes kill, with a skeleton on it. And you think people don't buy? So you tell me what's going on here. But that's exactly the point. The temptation is there, and sometimes it controls us. So it's not enough to know what's right and wrong. We have to enforce it. That's what the Torah is telling us. So clever. Shoftim v'shotrim. It's not enough to know the law. It's not enough to know what's wrong and what's right. You have to enforce it. And only if you enforce it, you're going to go on the right way. So I hope that all of us, with all the temptation we have, and everybody's got temptation, we're going to be clever enough to enforce on ourselves the right way. And as we say in Chodesh Elul, Chodesh Haslicha V'Rachamim, we always say it, and we say it also today. You know, sometimes there are two ways to do tshuva. The Rav Pinkus says there is a way to do tshuva. You read the Rambam. Scott, when you read this, after you read, I think, a few chapters, you will say, okay, I'm not going to do it. I can never succeed with this. You have to stand the same. I'm not going to go into it. Says the Rav Pinkus Zatzal, there is another way. And the other way is, Chodesh Elul, Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my uncle to me. I am to God and God to me. What does it mean? In Chodesh Elul, the Chodesh Bochu is here. He's always here, but now he's here in a different sense. He is here hugging us. He wants to hug us. He loves us so much, and he wants us back, whatever we did. The only thing we have to do is what? Run to his arms. Show him that we care, that we understand what Chodesh Elul is. And this, as the Rav Pinkus, is already the way to do tshuva. And that's the best way, and the easiest way. Show God that you care. What does it mean? Don't go on like Chodesh Elul is not here. Take on yourself a small thing, a small deed, whatever it is. But with this, you show God, I care. And if you care, Bezrat Hashem, I hope that all of us will going to get into Rosh Hashanah in the best way.
I want to ask you about...